I will start with these two, prayer and heart, and then I will proceed. I will speak later about Al-Ghazali and how he tried to also, using the imagery of the mirror, how he will approach this issue. I will start with the word prayer. Now, what do you mean by prayer? I didn't, you know, maybe later on we can clarify this, you know, what do you mean by prayer. Start with the level of the Quran, and then I will move forward. Within the Quranic context, prayer is used in different ways. Now, first, it's used to refer to the five prayers. This is kind of liturgical prayer, or it's kind of ritualistic prayer, which every Muslim has to do. This is one level. Another one is, prayer is in Arabic, actually, in its original sense, or its primary sense, means supplication. And it's used really to refer to this ritualistic prayer in a secondary manner or metaphoric way. This is how the scholars will indicate. So prayer actually is a supplication. Yes, it is. It's a kind of supplication, and where the human tried, you know, to speak to God. Put it this way. This is how they will put it in this way. So we have both really are used in the Quran in its primary sense, and also in its secondary or metaphorical sense to refer to the ritualistic prayer. Now, there's another word is used also in Arabic. Sometimes nowadays is used specifically for kind of supplication. Yes, it is the human who will, you know, call upon God, and this can be in terms, you know, in times of need or of misfortune. If misfortune has happened, you know, someone will call upon God for help, and we use this word as well. We call it du'a. I don't want to bother you with the Arabic terms. Another term is used also within the same, you know, framework, within the same context, is dhikr. And dhikr is basic translation is remembrance. Yeah? But also it has an implication, it has another sense of trying to be aware of God. Yes, to be aware of God. So God has to be on your mind. And in this sense also is linked with prayer as well, even the ritualistic prayer or the prayer. What's the purpose of the prayer is to be aware of God. It is not just only you perform the prayer, especially the ritual prayer. And what's the purpose? You know, it has a purpose. It is not just only, it's a duty, you have to do it, and then God will not punish you. No, it's not like that. It has a purpose of would lead you to be aware of God. So we have these, all of these, you know, when used within the, later on within the spiritual literature, all of these words, you know, have their basic meanings in the Quran. And later Muslims, especially when, you know, after they elaborated, you know, within the mystical traditions, you know, they put certain layers come, you know, built upon them and used differently later on, you know, in different ways from the Quran. But I prefer to start with the Quranic and to see the link later on. The concept of the heart or the word heart, this is also, we find it in the Quran and we find it in the tradition of the Prophet. The word heart is, which in Arabic is qalb, is same in Syria? There's lub, there's qalb, there's fuad.
Lubba.
Yes. Okay. So lubba is understood as the inner heart of the heart. So so the word qalb is used in the Quran in a sense that it is the center of responsibility, really. You know, it is where, for example, when the Quranic revelation revealed to the Prophet was revealed to his heart. Was revealed, you know, the Quran was revealed to his heart. It is where the center of conscience, if you put it this way. And why the heart is used, you will see this, because if you look at the basic meaning of what is the heart? The heart is this, you know, this organ. It keeps moving. So there's always a movement. And this is the human conscience, is always, you know, you cannot you know, always your thought is moving, you know, thought, you know, it's a train of thought. So it's used in this way. There's always movement, there is always inner movement inside the human soul, if you put it this way. And this is this center, this thing, you know, it is the center of this, is the heart. Now, it is how the whole of the Sufi tradition is how to control this heart. Yes, how to control. Will you be the one who is the rider, you know, or will let it lead you away, and you know, and later on I will give you, you know, one of the saying of the tradition which reflect this really this way of what is where you lose faith. What does it mean to lose faith? You know, it is where your heart will turn away from God. Yes, we'll have to turn away from God. So we have this concept of God, of the heart. There's another related concept. It is you are responsible for your heart. In which way you are responsible? That you have, you know, it is the same way like you're responsible for your hearing, for your seeing, you are also responsible for your heart. And you will be asked, you know, in the day of judgment about this, about, you know, whether you were in control or not of your inner movement of the heart, whether you let your desires to control you or you are controlling your desires. And this is really what's, you know, which is the heart of the issue here. If we're only coming to the prophetic traditions, you know, I'll use only two traditions. I'll refer to only two traditions. One tradition is that the heart of the believers is between the two fingers of the merciful. Okay? He turned it as he wishes. And then the prophet said, prayer, he prayed, he said, we ask God to make our hearts firm in his faith. Because at one moment, it means that at one moment, someone is have faith and believes, at second moment might all this disappears and you will turn away and you will, God will have no meaning at all in his life. So always the prophet asked God to, you know, to make his heart firm. Yes? And it is, this is the struggle, you know, to keep always in this. It is, I mean, here you pray of course to God to do that, but it is really, it is not God, it is the human who has to take the initiative. You know, it is in the hand of the humans. If otherwise, it will be pure predestination. And this is not meant by the prophet. The second thing is also related to the heart, but I will use it because we are talking at the level of the hadith, of the tradition of the prophet, is that the prophet said that heaven and earth could not accommodate God, but God can be accommodated in the heart of the believer. So it is. This is where you find God. It is not in heaven or earth. It is inside you, in the heart of the believer. This is where God is, you know, there. So let's move now to the, after we looked at the basic concept, I mean, my most important word here, you know, I will pick on the issues of remembrance, which is, you know, it is a form of prayer. You know, when you look in the Islamic tradition, we say, what are the forms of prayer? You have remembrance always, you know, comes, you know, into this as one of the most important types of prayer. Of course, there's a petition prayer and other forms of prayer as well. But this is here, we link it with the heart, what we mean by prayer of the heart. But what I'm trying to get at the end, why pray? Yes? Why do we need... What is the purpose? And you touch upon this, you know, in the later part of your talk about why, you know, we pray. What's important? What's so distinctive about prayer of the heart? Yeah? So when you say prayer of the heart, does it mean that there are other forms of prayer? Is it prayer of the body? If you look at this division, you have a body, you have heart, or maybe, you know, the soul might be linked with the heart as a human soul. So what is the purpose? Where it will lead us, this form, you know, of prayer? I'm using prayer here in this very large, you know, as a general concept. Now, I will turn to Al-Ghazali to link all this together. Al-Ghazali, he Of course, the ritual prayer is very important in Ghazali. This is has to be always performed. You know that Ghazali as a it's the great Muslim mystic. So everything, you know, has to be performed according to the Islamic Sharia, and so he's not negating the importance of five compulsory prayers. But in addition to that, and it is essential and to this, and this is the extra, and sometimes it is even, you know, if you pray and you are not aware of this, as I said, it's, your prayer is not really, you know, does not, it's only physical movement which does not have any impact, is the issue of dhikr, or basic translation, as I said, is remembrance. Now, Al-Ghazali differentiated between three types of remembrance, and all linked to what you are going to achieve at the end, really. Why are you praying? Why do you, is it duty? Is it, you want to get something out of it? I mean, what is the aim? Why you are praying to God? So put it within these three levels of remembrance. I don't know, later on if there's any similar things within. Yes. So it is the remembrance of the tongue. And this is really the basic. Mind you, now we are moving into different sphere, and this is within the context of Islamic Sufism, it's within the context of Islamic mysticism or Sufism. And here, remembrance is essential element here. But to get to this, there are really long route you have to follow. Yeah? And this is, it is put in this way, so if you have the Sharia as a highway, which is basic Islamic code of practices and you have, Sharia is very comprehensive. It is not only legal, it's comprehensive, really. It encompasses all of Islamic tradition, teaching. You have the tariqah, which is, it is a narrower road, or way within this highway. And this is the Sufis will follow this narrow way. And this is more extra, really, effort on the part of the person, he or she has to exercise and to control himself to follow this particular path. Or tariqah. I will use path for the tariqah. Now, basic among this, and this is will take us to the issue of purity, of purifying, your heart. It is, you have to purify yourself, your soul, really. This is the whole thing here. The heart will come later on. So it is the concept of jihad is used here. As I'm not going into this, but it is essential. Jihad here, it is what is they call it, the greater jihad of the soul. And this is the most difficult one, as you are, as we know. And here you have to fight all of your bad habits, imperfections, any moral imperfection, everything. And you have to replace them with, good ones. So you cannot, starting arrogance, pride, all of these. You cannot follow this route if you have this. So you try to attain, of course, moral perfections. And if you don't work towards your moral perfections every time, it is not just only something you achieve and then you stop. No, this is continuous struggle, actually. This is a continuous struggle. And once you follow this particular route, then you can see the fruit. You can see the fruit of getting nearer to God. Because what is the aim? The aim is to get to God. This is what's, the end of. And what sort of thing will help you to get in a shorter way and really to get to God, it is to prepare yourself. Now, while you are following, in this path, dhikr is very important. Here, God has to be always in your mind. You have to be in full awareness of God all the time. So the Prophet said here, of course, there are many verses in the Quran which refers to this. Just only one of them, I will refer to one of them, that it is, you have to remember God while you are sitting, you're standing, you're sleeping, even you are eating, you know, always, you know, this is if you, so the later Sufis, they say, if you love some person, you don't forget him or her, you know, he or she always has to be on your mind, and for God, you know, this is the most important person. So this is how the believer's life should be, you know, this is how the believer's life, it's always centered around God, not about himself or herself. And this is really the most, it is where, this is the heart of the issues, where is your life is centered. Is it yourself, your desires, your whatever you want to attain for your own self, or it is around God? And which, by implications, if your life is centered around God, you will be helpful to his servants. So this is, you know, this is the two poles in this way. So the, it is the issues of the, as I said, I'll go back to the remembrance of God. I talk about the Quranic ways. The Prophet said that your tongue has to be always wet, because of, so always you are remembering God. So your tongue will be wet by the word of God. This is what, you know, how the image he used, you know, or the metaphor he used. Now coming to Al-Ghazali. Al-Ghazali distinguished between three types or three levels of dhikr: the remembrance of the tongue, the remembrance of the heart, and the remembrance of the spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about the first one. But it's just only to put you into the context of the Sufis and to see that it is not just only someone can become a Sufi in this way, but just only going into, say, I'm going to remember God and mentioning the word of God. No, it is not. It doesn't work like that. You know, there are huge steps inside where you need to work on yourself and to purify yourself. Why is that? The image of mirror comes into later on. So the first step is that Al-Ghazali identified the remembrance of the tongue. And this is also, it's very difficult because you are talking about the tongue, but I mean, he's talking about the basic level here. It's the level of you, later on Muslim traditions, they will distinguish between different levels. And this is because of the impact, you know, of Platonic philosophy, really. The concept of the soul and the eternity of the soul. It is not really Quranic in this way. It is only later on, you know, it affected even Islamic writings, mystic writings, especially Al-Ghazali, because he had, Hellenistic philosophy had a great impact on him. So the first, the level of the remembrance of the tongue, here, it's the Sufis, they will put manuals, it is how to do that and how to, it is the tongue, but imagine someone who's trying to say something, his or her conscience will be drift away, he will not concentrate. This is not remembrance. So the remembrance, if you want to be aware of God, really, you have to concentrate. And this is the basic level. So what sort of word they will use? They will use, you know, formulas from the Quran. La ilaha illallah, there's no God but God. They will use the word only Allah by itself, just only God, you know, or Allah. Or other formulas from the other names of God, the merciful, and from the what's called beautiful names, 99 or more they are actually. Now, so this is the basic level here. But still, there's a lot of effort on the heart of the believer, you know, to do, to achieve really, and to master this particular level. Yeah? Because always you try to drift away, and you have to pull yourself back again. You'll drift, and you have to pull yourself back again to that, you know, and to concentrate. Now, if you are lucky, you will move to the second level, and this is the level of the heart. And this is really, this is a very essential element here. What's this level here? Here, the person will be observed by what he is remembering, by God, of course, here. It doesn't matter which formula he's or she is using. And this remembrance of, it will become internalized. The tongue will stop moving. This is how they will describe it, because of the intensity of the dhikr of the tongue, some people, you know, they spend, you know, hours and hours over a prolonged period of time doing that. It is, you know, it's not something achieved, you know. And then the heart will take, now the inner self will be, so the person, they will say that although your tongue is not moving at all, you will hear yourself inside, you will hear your heart saying the word God. You will hear it inside yourself. So the whole of your conscience, the whole of your, you know, being, you will be will calling upon God. And this is, you know, this is not also easy level to arrive, mind you. Because remember, all of these purifications, if your heart is not pure, you will never, God will not settle on your heart if your heart is not pure. This is what what Al-Ghazali will say. Now, the third level is the remembrance of the spirit. And the word is used is ar-ruh. It's a very difficult word. I don't want to go into this, which is, I think it has a Hebrew, it has also, it's a Semitic word, so maybe the same in ruach or wood. And it's linked to that, the what's mentioned in the Quran, maybe similar to the biblical, you know, what you find in the Bible, it's God who breathed into humans from his spirit, or this is the word soul. So here you are linking the human with the divine, really. This is the link between them. Yeah? And later Muslim philosophers and mystics, they try to build the theories about what's the relationship between the soul and the spirit and, you know, even the heart. It's very complicated depending on which author you are looking at, really, you know. So what is this third level, and what you will achieve, and how you will achieve this? Actually, here it is, the person has no control over this. Once you get to the second level, it is God's grace will intervene here at this stage. And this is what's really the Sufi or any Muslim who's engaged in this practice will try to achieve, really. And this is what's the aim, you know. It is what's the aim of praying, you know, at the end. You know, if you can achieve to one glimpse of this sort of the zikr at the end, one, it will be, you know, for some Sufis, it's that's it. They don't need anything else. And this is, when they reach to this stage, there are different ways, you know, of describing what will happen here. They will use the word kashif, uncovering. And, you know, and other ways, you know, other words which say that the veil will disappear. And you are face to face with the divine. You are face to face with the divine. So this is what they are trying to achieve, really. And this is, for them, this is, you know, it is not issues of paradise or issues of being saved from the hellfire. This is doesn't matter at all here at this level. It is here, really, you are in contact with the divine. And this is, you know, it has essential, your meaning, your the whole meaning of life, it's at this, if you can reach to this particular level in this life, not in the hereafter. This is what that. Now, where the image of the mirror comes here within Al-Ghazali and how we linked all this together. So it is the second usage of the image, which you mentioned, you know, about the image of the mirror. So it is, you have a mirror, also you need to polish it. And Al-Ghazali would say that any sin you commit, it will create a dot in your heart. So the more you commit sins, and if you completely unaware of God, your heart will be covered. You know, the mirror of your heart, here as a mirror, I'm talking, sorry, about the mirror will be covered by rust or by whatever, you know, black. You know, they will use the word black, but, you know, it's a metaphorical way. What does it mean when the mirror is covered? It's not polished, it's covered. It has no use. It has no use. And what is the use of the mirror of the heart? It's to reflect. to reflect what? It's the divine, really, the divine lights. So this is where the Sufi, when they get to the third level, really, it is when the mirror of their heart is 100% polished. Yes? And this, at this stage, can reflect the divine light on the human soul. And how to achieve this? It is, of course, with the exercises of all of these jihad or struggle with yourself, with your inner self. It's by the dhikr. The dhikr will help you to polish this mirror. The dhikr, it's the remembrance, the prayer of God. You know, here, if you're using prayer in a very loose sense here, it is will help you to polish the heart, and this is, you can move from one level to the other and reach, you know, this is what you are trying, you know, to say the highest level here, really, is of receiving the divine light, of receiving the divine light, and this is the aim of all of the, you know, of what's, you know, of the, what the Sufis, and especially later, what the aim of prayer, you know, what the aim of what you are trying to achieve. I will stop at this note.
Thank you. Thank you.